So Ethos was originally an NGO many years ago, and for, I'll say, political reasons, it's quite sensitive, but for political reasons, we've changed into a social enterprise where we've been operating for the last 5 years as a tourism company, and through that, tackling social problems, hoping to improve communities, people's life chances, and also development in terms of environmental awareness, because this area we live in the mountains of Vietnam is just stunning in terms of the natural scenery. So hoping to focus our attention on all of those areas through what we do.
You also mentioned in your organization that you're providing, creating opportunities and empowerment to the local ethnic people. And
that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, how does that go?
Well, basically, we've got a team. It's quite a dynamic team because almost everybody, well, apart from myself and my wife, everybody's a farmer. So the majority of our team are Hmong. We have 16 black Hmong people working with us. And we also work with a number of, they're called locally as Skirtik Hmong, Hmong Ling. They live in Mu Cang Chai, which is 6 hours away. And they help us with a few of our project work as well. We also work with a few Tao people. And the key thing of what we're trying to look at here is to try and find as many ways as we can to initiate small-scale development projects and provide primary employment. So initially, as operating as a tour company, we're able to offer jobs as tour guides. And through, I suppose, local experience, many of our guides are incredible English speakers. They've developed the skills themselves over years to be able to speak English really proficiently. Mm-hmm. And most of us, through meeting and selling handicrafts to tourists as they develop and grow, eventually they move into guiding. And they do an incredible job because they've got the local skill set, they've got the local knowledge, the cultural side of things, and the language skills, which we think are important. What we're hoping to do from that is to develop those skills into more managerial skills. Almost everybody here over a certain age is illiterate. There were no schools when our guides were children, and as a result of that, fundamentally, they can't read and write. Actually, we've got five people upstairs today doing an intensive English course focusing exclusively on literacy, reading and writing skills, in the hope that over time they'll improve in those areas they're a little bit weaker and eventually be able to run this organization themselves. That's the long-term plan.
That's a great mission, a great idea. I also heard that your organization also involved in issues like human trafficking, especially Hmong community live in Sapa, and according to the UN data, also indicate that women are still the targets of human trafficking in person. And according to one of your video that you shows through Facebook, one of the case, which is a young lady, was trafficking and taken to China as a wife, as promised, but it turned out the opposite way. And most of the victims, roughly over 60%, they are the person that actually helped themselves escaping exploitation, abusing by traffickers. In this case, how much participation that your organization has involved in this issue?
It's an incredibly complex issue. And if you look at trafficking as an overview, Vietnam aside, trafficking is predominantly an issue that affects women. In this particular area, the most vulnerable are actually the 13 to 16-year-old girls. And many of them come from poor agricultural backgrounds. They lack opportunities. Although Sapa is a growing town and this area of Vietnam is thriving, much of that wealth stays within the town amongst the Vietnamese community, and a lot of it never reaches the villages. And you know, a lot of these young girls are lacking in opportunity, and as a result of that, rather than kidnap, which is often the word used to describe how the traffickers are approaching people, a lot of it's coercion. They're approaching young girls, building up relationships quickly, often via Facebook or mobile phones, or in person. But perhaps they're meeting someone three, four or five times before they're deciding whether or not this young man, often a Hmong man himself, is, you know, a viable suitor, someone they would like to marry. And it's at that point they'll, you know, naively follow the trafficker, who then enters China and often sells the girls on to other people. And in order to avoid traceability, most of the girls that end up going that way are then sold on again and again and repeatedly, which makes it very, very difficult for the Chinese and the Vietnamese authorities to ever be able to track these girls down. We spoke to the head of the women's union in this area, and she cited around 200 noted cases of girls being trafficked from Sapa District last year. She did say that there must be other instances of trafficking where the parents, the families, didn't report the issue, thus indicating an average of one girl every 2 days disappears from this region. It's a huge problem.
At the moment, is there any collaboration or cooperation between the NGO organization, the Vietnamese government and Chinese government to handle this problem?
It's a very, very challenging issue. There are a number of NGOs that are operating in Vietnam. I mean, there's one organization based in Hanoi called Blue Dragon. And Blue Dragon are very heavily involved in working with the Vietnamese authorities and Chinese authorities. And they stage rescue operations. With permission, it's all authorized. But in order to do that, the location of the girl who's gone to China needs to be found. And that's often the most challenging part. You know, I don't know statistics. It's very difficult to quantify. But the vast majority of girls that disappear are never heard from again. And the issue stems from the one-child policy, from nearly 40 years of a prominence of male children being born in China. And again, it's a bit difficult to quantify, but there's an estimated 40 million more men than women in China, most of which now have reached marriageable age. So there's a huge demand for women to meet the need for brides. And unfortunately, many of the girls that are stolen and trafficked from this area, if they refuse to conform, if they're unwilling to marry the man who ends up buying her, purchasing her, often those same girls are forced into prostitution or are sometimes actually killed. You know, they're killed for their body parts, and you know, their livers and their hearts, their corneas are sold on the black market. So the traffickers are always making their money. And it's a big industry. It's a huge trade in people. I think it's the second or third biggest illegal trade after arms and drugs. It's a huge amount of money involved.
Do you have any final say about this issue?
I think the key thing is, for a long while, the approach here has been one of silence. You know, certainly from the authorities, one of, you know, if we don't speak about it, people won't know. Things are beginning to change in Vietnam a lot more now. The authorities are aware this is an issue, and they are doing their bit. You know, we've dealt with the police over recent weeks, and they're actively trying to solve the issue. The authorities themselves are involved in it. And I think there's two things that we as an organization think are very important. Interviews such as this to raise awareness of the issue are vital, because I think as the world begins to understand, this is not a historical problem. This is something that's happening in the world today. Awareness helps, and also an appeal for expertise. My background is teaching. My wife's background, she studied tourism. You know, we're not experts in people trafficking. This is something that we've ended up on the front line of dealing with through circumstance. We're networking and we're bringing in expertise. But if there's anybody you know, listening to this broadcast that is interested in getting involved in an advisory role, or maybe even coming to Vietnam and helping out, we're always open to other people's ideas. So please, you know, please seek us out either on Facebook or find our webpage and get in touch.